Hello, hello.
Hey.
I got no boxes today.
No boxes.
Yeah. But you know what? I wanted to be able to talk to you today about weddings. I love weddings.
Oh yeah.
We know that this month we're talking about Jesus as our lover. And what is it? What's a better image for love, to promote love, than a wedding? And we're talking about a wedding for the ages. Every wedding seems to have its own moment that stands out and captures people. I know that our own wedding, I'll always remember when they opened the door and my bride stood there at the end of the runway, the whole room went, it was like all the air got sucked out of the room. It was an amazing thing. And other weddings, I see a mom and looking up at her son and with such pride in her face, or a dad walking his daughter down the aisle. But every wedding has its incredible moments. And sometimes it might be better if they were forgettable. I remember one wedding, a dear friend of mine actually, but he and his bride decided that their song, the theme song for their wedding, was going to be Honestly, I Love You by Olivia Newton-John.
Right. Yeah.
If you remember it, it sounds so pretty, but it's about two people who fell in love, but they were already married to someone else. And the words are, if we both were born in another place in time, this moment might be ending in a kiss. But there you are with yours, and here I am with mine. And yeah, when I never had the guts to tell him that the words to the song that they had picked out. But it really is a beautiful song. So we're going to start out in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, it says in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church. And that's always stuck out to me. And Christ in the church, the most glorious wedding there's ever been. And that's what I'd like to speak to you about today. Throughout the Word of God, the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, there are, God uses the analogy of a wedding or a marriage or a husband and wife to describe his relationship with his chosen people. For example, Isaiah 54, 5, he says, "For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth." Isaiah 62, 5, "And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you." Jeremiah 3:14. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you, one from a city, two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Revelation 19:7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. You know, that this, those verses, you can find them throughout Scripture. Those four were just a sample. But there's actually a whole book devoted to God and his marriage to his people. And that is the book of Hosea. I hope you're familiar with Hosea. We're going to look at the first three chapters. You know, Hosea was a prophet. He ministered for at least 40 years. I'm guessing longer, because I just know that God did not start out his first assignment for Hosea. There's no way. He had to have a relationship that was strong before he asked Hosea to take a woman of ill repute to be his wife. It's amazing that God could do something like that. God uses literary devices. And in this, Hosea is a type. And that means, and God is the anti-type. And what it means is that he's expressing through himself, I mean, through Hosea, what he's going through himself. And in that place, Gomer, who was Hosea's wife, would be the people of God, Israel, in the Old Testament, but that would still represent the church in the New Testament, because God is unchanging. And so, yeah, that's a pretty good place to start. So I'm going to start in chapter 1, in verse 2. When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go, take to yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he married Gomer, daughter of Diablam, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel. Then she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to him, name her Lo-Harama, for I will no longer have compassion on the house of Israel, that I would ever forgive them. But I will have compassion on the house of Judah and deliver them by the Lord their God, and not by bow, sword, battle, horses, or horsemen. When she had weaned Lo-Harama, she conceived and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of sons of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it will be said, you are the sons of the living God. And the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be gathered together, and they will appoint for themselves one leader, and they will go from the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel. This is, again, this is the whole literary device being used here. God is trying to show all of Israel and us, because we have the blessing of reading this. He's trying to show us what he's going through. God is always oftentimes in scriptures uses this type of device. He did it with Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet about 150, maybe 200 years after Hosea. But when his wife passed away, God told him, you cannot mourn for your wife in public. Because God was not going to mourn for what Israel and Judah at that time, Judah was going through. It's an amazing thing that you get to see and to learn just how emotional God is as he deals with people. I mean, you probably even noticed it in the verses we've already read, that it's like he's going back and forth. I'll call you my children no more, but there'll be so many of you. It's amazing that God lets us into his heart the way he does. Mm-hmm. Here we see that Hosea had to take a wife, Gomer. She was a woman known throughout town, wherever they're from. She was known as a prostitute. I can only just imagine all the gossiping and stuff going on in town. You know, did you see who Hosea married? Mm-hmm. Oh, what's he doing? Isn't he supposed to be a man of God?
Right.
You know, today his thumbs would be just going crazy.
Right.
You know, it'd be all up on social media and everything.
That's right.
But it's a tough situation that God calls him to. But in the story, not long after the nuptial, the ceremony, Gomer becomes pregnant, and she delivers a son. It says. A son for Hosea, and his name is Jezreel. And Jezreel, and it's by definition, it means God scatters.
Oh, okay.
And God was planning to scatter the nation of Israel throughout the empire of Assyria. They were going to be overrun by Assyria, and it happens, I think, about 40 years after Hosea's book ends. But he was going to scatter Israel throughout the whole empire of Assyria, because the people just refused to love him. We'll see a little later. He says, you just keep going after other lovers when I'm the one who always provides for you. So after that, it says sometime later she becomes pregnant again, and this time with a daughter, but it doesn't say this time that she delivered a child to Hosea. This time it just says she had a child, you know, and you can tell where this is going. She is going back to her ways. And this girl, they're going to name Lo Rahama. And that means no mercy. What a great name, no mercy.
Yeah.
And because God is threatening to have no mercy on the house of Israel, that it's going to be over, completely over, because they're chasing other lovers.
Right.
Shortly after Lo Rahama has been nursed, then Gomer has another son, and his name is Lo Ammi. And that means not my people. So they're going to be scattered, and then God's going to disown them. And so put yourself in Hosea's place. He's got in his household an unfaithful wife, and he's raising children called punishment, no mercy, and I disown you.
Wow.
That's quite a household.
They have a lot of room to that house.
But God, because he is love, he knows that he could never fully reject his chosen people. Hosea chapter 1, starting in 10, verses 10 and 11. And in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, it will be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. The sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be gathered together, and they will appoint for themselves one leader, and they will go up from the land, for great is the day of Jezreel. Now, true to his nature, God just cannot hold a grudge forever.
Yep.
We can do it. We can hold a grudge forever. I have grudges against, there's a, I don't even know if Sears is still a business. But I held a grudge against them so long that I forgot why I had a grudge.
Yeah.
I just knew I wouldn't enter the store. But God is not like that. He's not like us. He is so much better than us. He is love. But it's just amazing that he even though these children are not his by birth, maybe even the first one for all we know, but they're not his by birth, but he is not going to reject them. Again, he says in chapter 2, verse 1 and the first part of 2, say to your brothers, Ami, which would mean people. You are my people. Lo Ami was not my people, because that lo is the negator. So he's saying, say to your brothers, you are my people. And to your sisters, Ruhama, you will receive mercy. So in a sense, oh, and it says, and contend with your mother, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. But though his wife was sharing herself around, God could not run his household. He couldn't just reject these children. God, they had come to him, the children of Israel. This is where, if you're familiar in the New Testament, the Jews did not like the Samaritans.
Right.
The Samaritans are the result of this mixing of the people that God had tried to keep them from doing in order to keep them faithful. They ended up chasing all these other gods instead of the true God, and they mixed with the people. But God said, I cannot just reject them. They're still my children in my heart. And I feel the same way. Zoomer and I have three daughters. The oldest two were not from my body, but I love them. I there's no difference between them and the daughter we have together. And I know God is so much better than me. If I can do it, I can only imagine what it's like for God. But right about now, I think maybe we ought to be seeing ourselves a little bit in Goma. I'll get to that in a little bit, but we're not children of God naturally.
No.
By nature, we're enemies of God. That's what Romans 5 tells us.
Mm-hmm.
But God extends his hand and offers to adopt each of us into his family. And it's until that adoption process goes by, we are not gonna, you can't call Jesus my brother. You know, we have to go through that adoption process before we are even the children of God. In Hosea 2, verses 2 through 5, it says, rebuke your mother, rebuke her, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. Let her remove the adulterous look from her face and the unfaithfulness from between her breasts. Otherwise, I will strip her naked and make her bare as on the day she was born. I will make her like a desert and turn her into a parched land, slay her with thirst. I will not show my love to her children because they are the children of adultery. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me food and water and my wool and my linen, oil and drink. God says, I cannot accept you, Israel, because of your sin. I'll no longer keep you as my wife. But as long as you continue to chase after other other lovers. And I think about it, my own self, how faithful have I been to Jesus? I could ask, how often do you turn to other loves ahead of Christ? How many times? You know, there's maybe even a better question is, how many times a day do you choose other lovers ahead of Christ? You know, do you blow up at your spouse, even though God tells you to love and respect one another? That's putting yourself, choosing to love yourself ahead of Christ. How many times have you colored the truth, speaking to your boss or anybody? We should all be telling the truth to everybody.
Right.
That's loving yourself, loving the opinion of others above God. How about, do you love sleep more than you love to get up and have your time with God? Do you love your money that God has blessed you with so much that you can't give some back to Jesus? You know, these are real things that we have to deal with in our life. And are we really any different than Gomer? You know, we think, oh well, I'm not sleeping around. Yeah, but you're still being unfaithful in your actions. Mm-hmm. Because our marriage to Christ is a spiritual one.
Right.
It's a spiritual one, and He needs us to be faithful. We need to be faithful. We're not that much different than Gomer. Let's go back to the scripture, chapter 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, I will block her path with thorns. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. She will say, I will go back to my husband as at first, for then I was better off than now. So to what end does God plan to block Gomer? Is it just to you know, to rub her face in it? You know, you've made such a mess of your life. Yeah, you did that. No, he has something much, much better in planned. Hosea 2, down in 14 and 6 through 16. Therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her. There I will give her back her vineyards, and I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will sing as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came up out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and you will no longer call me my master. You know, the Lord, he's almighty. He possesses all power and all authority, but he doesn't choose to exercise it against us. He doesn't choose to use his authority that sin deserves death and I'm going to give it to you. He gave us Jesus.
Right.
He knows the end from the beginning. You know, Jesus was there in the beginning. It was, all things were created through him. But he knows the end from the beginning, so that he always plans. He had always planned for a happy ending. He knew it was how difficult. He knew how bad it was going to be himself. That's why he had Hosea choose the wife he did, one who already had the reputation, because Hosea was going to know that his wife was going to be unfaithful, just as God knows, just as Jesus knows that the church will continually go in a direction other than what he has set out for them, chasing after their own loves. Hosea 3, verses 1 through 3. The Lord said to me, go show your love to your wife again. He's putting that happy ending in place. This is such a beautiful, it's such a beautiful part of Scripture. He says, go show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer of barley. Wow, that's all it cost to buy his wife back. She had been so used up.
Right.
That's all there, I mean, we all hope to be worth more than 15 shekels of silver. The, you know, at least Judas got 30 shekels. I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a half of barley. I told her, you are to live with me many days and must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will live with you. You know, it's the most hard-hearted among us can't help but to really feel for Hosea and for God, for Jesus, in this story. He's put his heart out there, and the most hard-hearted, you only need to acknowledge your sin, whatever it is, you know, and we all have it, and confess it, and God will accept you back so readily. And with that, I got three challenges for you. One, acknowledge and confess your sins. And this is the beginning of walking with Christ. This is, without it, you cannot be in the family of God. Second, have no loves before God. It's difficult because, you know, like they in Romans 12, the preacher joke is always, well, yeah, we're supposed to live as offer our lives as a living sacrifice, but the problem with the living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. Have no other loves ahead of Christ. And number 3, live in his mercy and be his people. You are his people and he's your God. And I hope and pray that this has been a blessing to you and that you take these challenges seriously for your lives. Thank you.
Good job.